Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Best of the Football History Headlines on Pigskin Dispatch, we discuss a Notre Dame versus the NFL's New York Giants contest and the legendary Ernie Davis, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays, all coming up for you in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the football history headlines for December 14th. We talked earlier in the segue coming in that it was a unique day in football history. There is also a little bit of intrigue and some tragedy, and we're going to have to unfortunately start off with some tragedy. December 14th, 1920, the Fighting Irish legend George Gipp passed away from pneumonia at the age of 25. The History of CollegeFootball.com reminds us that Gipp was probably best known for asking his coach, Newt Rockne, from his hospital bed to at some time in the future, when the Irish find themselves in a tight spot, that Rockne and the Irish need some inspiration to ask the team to just win one for the Gipper. December 14th, 1930. An interesting gridiron charity game pitted the New York Football Giants against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The Giants surged earlier in the season, but then dropped their last two games, which eliminated them from a chance at the NFL title. With this in mind, they teamed up with the ever-popular Notre Dame 11 to hold a benefit game to raise money for the cash-strapped families during the Great Depression, according to Happerman.org. The GM triumphed 22-0. December 14, 1930, the National Football League champions were the Green Bay Packers, who with a 10-3-1 record, repeated to take the title with the best record in that era of the NFL. The team with the best record received the title per the Fandom.com American Football story on the season. December 14, 1941. It's amazing that with all the times that the Bears and the Packers have faced each other, there was only one time in the history so far that they met in a postseason. That one-time meeting was indeed historic, as it was also the first NFL divisional playoff game. In that era of the NFL, there were two divisions, and the team with the best record in each division would meet in the NFL championship game. The 1941 season, however, the Bears and the Packers tied for the best record in the Western Division of the NFL with identical 10-1 records. It happened that season that each team was victorious on the other's field. On September 28th of that year, the Bears defeated the Packers at Citi Stadium 25-17. The Packers then returned the favor on November 2nd at Wrigley Field, winning 16-14. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Online covers the gameplay in detail, but also shares with us that in this meeting, it was the Bears who claimed the right to play for the title as they knocked off the Packers 33-14 in the third and most important meeting of the season of these two. December 14th, 1947. It was action from the AFC Championship game, which had the Cleveland Browns defeating the New York Yankees of the football team 14-3 to win yet another title in the fledgling league. December 14th, 1980, speaking of the Browns, at Metropolitan Stadium, the miracle at the Met, as the Minnesota Vikings have sure been involved in a lot of famous plays. Before the Minneapolis miracle, there was this fantastic game when the Cleveland Browns were in town, according to ESPN.com. The Browns held a one-point lead with 14 ticks of the clock remaining. It looked dismal for the home fans as the Vikings had possession of the ball but were 80 yards away from the Browns' goal line. The use of the hook and lateral ate up 9 precious seconds as the lateral went to Vikes running back Ted Brown, who reached the Cleveland 46 and got out of bounds to stop the clock. Quarterback Tommy Kramer then fired a lofty pass to the right side of the end zone in desperation. three Browns were in position to make the play on the ball, but they tipped it into the hands of Viking wide receiver Ahmad Rashad in the back corner of the end zone in a truly miraculous conclusion. Kramer passed for 456 yards to set a franchise record in a non-overtime game, and the final score was 28-24, Minnesota in a thriller. December 14, 1980, the New Orleans Saints fans ended their paper bags over their heads era as the Aints, when they favored team, edged out the New York Jets 21-20 to stop the 14-game losing streak. December 14, 1991, the 57th Heisman Trophy Award went to Desmond Howard, the University of Michigan's talented wide receiver and return man. Howard, according to the Heisman.com website, held the second largest voting margin of victory in the award's history. The junior wideout helped the Wolverines achieve a 10-1 record while catching 61 receptions for 960 yards with 19 TDs, and he ran back a couple more scores on rushes. He scored another couple of touchdowns on kick and punt return. He averaged a whopping 31 yards per kick return and a solid 15.3 yards on punt returns. I would say that sets up for some pretty good field position on offense. December 14, 1996, quarterback Danny Werfel from the Florida Gators was voted as the 62nd Heisman Trophy winner. Werfel was only the second Gator to win the award. The other was none other than his Florida head coach, at the time Steve Spurrier, for the Heisman's official website. Danny rifled 3,625 yards and 36 touchdowns as he aided the Gators to an 11-1 record and another shot at the national title. Werfel showed up in a big day on that national championship game, too, as he threw for 306 yards and three touchdowns against a strong Florida State defense in a 52-20 Gator romp against their cross-state rivals to win Florida's first ever national title. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about the gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
He was known as the Bronze Bullet, tied the world record in the 45 and 60-yard dashes, and while he stood just 5'4", he tied the legendary Red Grange for most touchdowns in the Big Ten in a season with 10, and went on to score 45 more in the pros. Join me, Warren Rogan, and football historian Andy Piasek as we take a look back at the phenomenal career of Buddy Young on Sports Forgotten Heroes.
December 14, 1998, the Downtown Athletic Club handed its 64th version of the Heisman Award to the University of Texas running back Ricky Williams. We told you earlier that Desmond Howard in 1991 received the second highest percentage of Heisman votes. Well, Ricky Williams is the only player ahead of him in that category. Williams had an incredible 43% of the voters cast his name in the Heisman voting, according to the award's website tabulation. Ricky set 21 NCAA records. He's ran for an impeccable 2,124 yards on the season with 27 TDs. The standout Longhorn runner also won the Maxwell and the Walter Camp Player of the Year awards, as well as becoming the only player in college football history to win the Doak Walker Award twice. December 14, 2009, the University of Alabama's hardworking running back Mark Ingram Jr. won the 75th Heisman Trophy Award. He was unbelievably the first Alabama Heisman winner to also win a national championship title with a tie that same season. Ingram's, according to the trophy's official site, won the narrowest vote in Heisman history up to that point. Mark Ingram in the 2009 season rushed for 1,542 yards with 15 touchdowns and caught 30 passes for an additional 322 yards and three TDs to aid Bama into going undefeated on the season. December 14, 2019, the 85th Heisman Award trophy was earned by Joe Burrow, the stud quarterback from Louisiana State University. Heisman.com informs the reader that the LSU senior signal caller threw a Heisman tying record of 48 touchdowns on the season with 4,715 yards through the air. Joe's 2019 completion rate of 77.9% is the highest ever in the award's history. Okay, we've got a couple of great Hall of Fame birthdays for December 14th to talk about, and there's some very important people at the football history. So let's start off on December 14th, 1921, in Pittston, Pennsylvania. Charlie Trippi, the Georgia Bulldogs' great halfback, was born. The NFL starts out on their bio of Charlie with the story of the 1943 Rose Bowl game in which Georgia would face powerhouse UCLA. The Bulldogs would be at a slight disadvantage as their stud All-America runner Frank Sinkwich was hurt and not able to play. The substitute for Sinkwich was Trippy, and boy did he ever put on a show as he went on to become the game's MVP by helping the Dogs overcome some adversity and defeating the Bruins 9-0. After some great seasons with Georgia, which were World War II interrupted and he served his country, Trippy really set his fabled Bulldog lore in his senior year. Charlie led to Georgia to a perfect 10-0 season, and an amazing halfback won the Sugar Bowl for the Bulldogs when he tossed a touchdown pass to teammate Dan Edwards, sealing off a 20-10 victory over the Tar Heels of North Carolina. The National Football Foundation selected Charlie Trippy to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1959. Trippy may be the only player to have ever played in four Chicago All-Star games as a collegian, two with the Bulldogs, and two others while in the service, and even played a fifth as a professional. The Pro Football Hall of Fame tells an interesting story about Charlie after college. It was at AAFC's New York Yankees who were ready to hold a press conference to announce Charlie Trippy as their newest player. But at the last minute, they found out that Charles Bidwell Sr. of the Chicago Cardinals in the NFL had inked Trippy to a sweet deal. Charlie signed a four-season-long, $100,000 professional contract with the Chicago Cardinals, making him the second-highest-paid pro player at the time, behind only Red Grange. Bidwell was willing to bring him, and billing it, the dream backfield, as Trippy would join Cardinals greats Paul Christen, Pat Harder, Marshall Goldberg, and later Elmer Angston, but Mr. Bidwell passed away before ever seeing the men play together. The dream backfield was thought of, and the Cardinals captured the 1947 championship game with that dream backfield by defeating the Philadelphia Eagles 28-21. Trippy put on basketball shoes to gain traction on the icy Comiskey Park surface to rush for 260 total yards of rushing and two returns with two scores. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Charlie Trippy in 1968. December 14, 1939, New Salem, Pennsylvania. Ernie Davis, the standout Syracuse halfback, was born. Ernie, according to the NFF bio on him, led the Syracuse Orangemen to a national championship in 1959. Davis was the top player in the nation in 1961 as he rushed for 823 yards as a senior and scored 15 touchdowns while leading Syracuse in pass receiving with 16 catches for 157 yards. Ernie Davis was the first African-American player to win the Heisman Trophy, but he was also the first black player to ever be drafted with the top pick in the NFL draft. Unfortunately, shortly after signing a life-changing contract with the Cleveland Browns, Ernie came down with leukemia and was not able to live out his professional dream. We lost the great Ernie Davis at the young age of just 23. The National Football Foundation selected Ernie Davis to become a member posthumously of the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1979. And if you look at pigskindispatch.com on December 14th, we have a very special Ernie Davis feature article in our Inspiration Sensation series on Ernie's birthday, just to recognize what a great individual he was. So make sure you catch that. We hope these football history headlines from December 14th were of interest to you, and make sure you catch tomorrow's edition of the football history headlines for December 15th as we talk about an independent team that knocks off the world champs a week after they lock up the title. And in another story, the Detroit Lions win a championship. To make sure you get notified the second the next edition of the podcast is released, please put your mouse cursor over that subscribe button on your podcast player and crush it like an offensive tackle hitting a DB. You can also find all the episodes of your favorite podcast provider and on pigskindispatch.com or on the sportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll also find many other great nostalgic sports stories and interviews podcasts with an all-star cast of podcast hosts and guests to share some of the history's greatest sporting events. So make sure you catch it, sportshistorynetwork.com and also pigskindispatch.com. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. Tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to contact us, we're at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on the email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network. your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh my, these are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football, college basketball art, Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Marla Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row One sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can, too, by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's R-O-W number one today for access to the full Row One catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20. Check out. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.